David Derrett's top five things. The very best we could get done on our morning show, which you can hear every morning on Planet 93.9. My name is Dave. This is my partner, Darren. Thanks for downloading, subscribing, and leaving a review of the podcast you're about to enjoy. How you been, Darren?
I'm okay.
You left the studio for a couple minutes. I started to get worried.
Why? What have you heard?
I don't know. I don't have object permanence. When you leave the room, I think, is that it? Is Darren gone forever? Every time you leave, a little part of me dies, buddy. That's why I'm so glad we have a record of our time together in podcast form.
It's true. Really more of a record than you need.
It's
a little overwhelming.
It really can be, and it's made possible by Nature's Treatment of Illinois.
Yeah, they have two locations, Tech Drive in Milan and West Main Street in Galesburg. Milan and Galesburg both open 7 days a week. Milan, they offer both medicinal and recreational. Galesburg is recreational only. The recreational waiting lists are available. Go to the website and get your time taken care of right there at ntillinois.com.
Here's number one.
Number one.
Number one.
There's a trend on TikTok now, and this one I can go along with. This one's not running on milk crates and potentially paralyzing yourself. This is something where TikTok users are being asked to share what they call the family tea. That is, share with complete strangers things that are rather scandalous that have happened inside your immediate family. And one of the responses to this has gone viral. This woman explains how she discovered as an adult that her dad had an identical twin. Had no idea that her dad had an identical twin until he had passed away, as it turns out.
And he's back. So she had never met her uncle.
Well, that's actually not true. She did meet her uncle one time. And this gets bizarre. She says her father and his brother, his identical twin, used to swap places all the time.
So the uncle would walk her down the aisle.
She said that, yeah, a lot of times her uncle would be in the place of her father, but she had no idea. To make matters worse, her dad died, and now no one's sure whether or not it was her dad or his twin brother that died.
Does it matter?
Well, it kind of does.
Sounds like it doesn't.
She says, one day when I was a kid, I needed a drink of water, and I had to work up the courage to go downstairs and ask my dad for a drink of water, because my parents had this thing about once they sent you to bed, you stay in bed. Anyway, I started to go downstairs to get a drink of water, and I noticed that my dad is outside arguing with this unidentified woman. So I was like, great, I can hurry up and sneak past and go downstairs, and I got yelled at. Imagine my surprise when I round the corner and ran straight into my dad. Me, in shock and horror, can't figure out how my dad, who I can still see is arguing outside, was also inside the house. I went ahead, just went to the bathroom thinking I was dreaming, even though I was fully awake. Round the corner, said goodnight to my dad, got almost all the way up the stairs, and just happened to look outside the window. I was at a perfect angle, and I could see that my dad was still outside while I was also still inside, and I couldn't explain it. I tried to tell my mom the next day. She thought I was dreaming. It wasn't until after my dad died that we found out he had an identical twin brother. My dad's name was Freddy. The twin's name was Eddie.
Wait a minute. Is she the only one that found out? It sounds like everybody else knew.
No, the mom didn't know.
The mom didn't know?
The mom didn't know that she married an identical twin, and they would swap out all the time. They kept switching places. She says, the question is, who actually died? Because no one can find Eddie. No one knows where Eddie is.
Or Freddy.
Well, no, they know where Freddy is. Freddy's in the ground. But is that Freddy or is that Eddie? Maybe Freddy's out there. Imagine you run into your dad, and then you look out the window, and your dad's there, but then your dad's in the
house. So they just swapped places to what? Kill boredom?
Yeah, I don't know.
So you don't get any sort of rut?
I don't know. I mean, it seems like that's the sort of thing you would think you would do if you were an identical twin, but the actual reality of it would be impossible to pull off, right? I mean, this is nefarious. This is a very long con that you and your identical brother have to come up with. Imagine it's not that hard to talk an identical brother into doing something. Because it's like...
Probably not.
Yeah, no, I had the same idea. We should do this.
No, way ahead of you.
Probably a lot easier to convince an identical brother to do something than another sibling. So now the questions are, you know, how did her mom not notice that her husband was a completely different person? Or which one? Is it possible that your uncle is in fact your biological father? Did they swap out then? Or it's like, hey, I'm...
I wonder how likely it is that if you have an identical twin,
yeah,
that you have the same golf swing. Wouldn't you think it'd be kind of, it could, because then that way you could basically critique your golf swing without, you know, filming it. It's like, now I see what I'm doing wrong.
I don't think that a golf swing is a genetic trait.
No, I tend to think it's probably more likely that you would have a similar golf swing than not.
You think?
Yes.
So if you had an identical twin,
yes,
you would look at your twin as they golfed,
yes,
and go, oh, I see.
I see what I'm doing wrong.
Here's what we need. Here's what we need to do.
Right.
This is what we need to do. We need to.
I would tend to think you'd shoot free throws. Uh-huh. About you'd be very about. Yeah, we're about the same.
Really?
Yeah.
Identical twin. I've got a story here of identical twins that golfed at Duke.
Yeah.
Identical twins.
How are their golf swings?
Well, I mean, they were able to golf competitively on a collegiate level for Duke.
Yeah, Division I.
So they must have been okay. These were two Irish, the McGuire twins, that came to America from Ireland and had to make some adjustments to the courses and the weather and the pace of play.
But the same adjustments.
No matter what we do, we'll always be compared to one another. I think you can look at it two different ways. There definitely comes the extra pressure with being a twin, but if you use it the right way, it can do more good than harm.
Right, by critiquing his swing.
I don't think that these are girls here that were into Duke years ago. I don't know.
I think it's more likely than not you're going to have a very similar swing.
See, I think it's more likely than not that you could be an identical twin, and one twin is great at golf and the other sucks at it.
Bet you're pretty close. I bet you're.
I submitted for your approval.
I bet you're within a stroke of each other.
You think?
Yep.
Submitted for your approval, the story of Curtis Strange. Curtis Strange,
that's right,
professional golfer, winner of consecutive U.S. Open titles.
Oh, he does have an identical twin, doesn't he?
He has an identical twin named Alan. His father owned... Their father, I should say, owned a local country club.
How convenient.
Right. So Alan Strange was Curtis's identical twin brother. Strange went on to play at Wake Forest.
Which one?
No, just Curtis Strange.
Just Curtis.
I don't think Alan Strange was that good of a golfer, man.
Yeah.
Well, you would think that if one could make the PGA Tour and win a consecutive U.S. Open,
I think the
titles,
other one probably, Alan just wasn't interested. He probably would have been better than Curtis if he wanted to
be. If he showed an interest?
Yeah.
What?
I think he didn't have an interest.
But see, I think you're arguing that he would be as interested.
Well, most of the time.
The Strange twins were both taught the game of golf by their father, Tom Strange, who owned the White Sands Country Club in Virginia Beach.
He owned a country club.
It must be nice.
Not a golf course. This wasn't that he owned a golf course. He owned a country club.
Alan, okay, here we go. Here's the answer. Alan and Curtis, the Strange brothers. Something strange about those twins. Alice and Curtis were extremely competitive golfers as teens and equally skilled.
There you go.
But Alan participated in various other sports in high school, whereas Curtis focused exclusively on golf. You're absolutely correct. It's a matter of interest.
He wasn't as interested.
I'd rather,
every bit as good as this one.
Yeah, I'd like to play basketball and do some other things, though. Yeah. Curtis focused exclusively on golf. Alan qualified for and played on the PGA Tour.
See?
For 3.5 years in the late 70s, but his enthusiasm started to wane.
Told you.
It's exactly as you said.
Told you. I mean, he was good enough to make the PGA Tour.
Uh-huh.
You know how good you've got to be to make the PGA Tour?
Alan was convinced by an uncle to go out and to work in the financial services industry and play golf as an amateur while prospecting for clients. Yeah, I bet that's a pretty good deal. If you're a really good golfer, your twin brother is Curtis Strange, who won the U.S. Open in 89 and 90.
You can tell everybody you are Curtis Strange.
Who's going to know? That's it. Hey, man, I've signed you up. Thanks for doing your business with me. I have signed you up to golf with...
Now, Curtis,
two-time U.S. Open golf champion Curtis Strange.
Now, Curtis Strange, from time to time, does some golf analysis on television.
Right? No, he's a color commentator.
Or is it Alan? Alan,
this is very bizarre.
I know you're in there.
So yeah, what if Curtis Strange is doing like the seniors tour color commentary, and then Curtis Strange is in the tee box?
Wait a minute.
How is this happening?
Bet they have the same swing.
Wow. It's exactly as you said.
You thought you had me.
Well, I just... I guess I don't understand a lot about how identical twins work.
They're identical.
I get it, but their golf game would be similar. Darren, here I am. Admitting that you were right. Have you ever heard of the Jim twins? This was a big story back in the 70s. The Jim twins
on Hee Haw
of Ohio. No, these are actual, not characters coming out of the corn.
Who were they?
In bib overalls.
Who were they? Were they the Hager twins?
On Hee Haw.
On Hee Haw. Is that who they were?
And their job was just to come out of the Hee Haw Hager twins.
Yeah. And what was their talent again?
I think their talent was just that they were identical twins. Identical twin brothers.
Was one of them Jim?
It was James and John. Okay. So close.
Well, yeah.
Jim. So close.
Jim, essentially.
Mm-hmm. There was an episode where they were on The Bionic Woman.
Yeah.
Where Jim and John played clone detectives.
Clone detectives or clones?
Clones who happen to be detectives.
Right. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, right. We're clone detectives. Hager twins went to high school, by the way, with Harrison Ford and Hillary Clinton.
Huh.
At Maine Township High School in Park Ridge.
That's quite a sock hop.
Let's focus on the Jim twins, though, shall we? The Jim twins were put up for adoption when they were 3 weeks old. This was in 1940, all right? Identical twins put up for adoption, and they went to two different families. Their adoptive parents, by coincidence, named both of the boys James.
What?
Yes. It's a common name, right?
Yeah, for one person.
Yeah, but you don't know what the other baby's going to be called. You're told, here's your
put
baby.
Up for okay.
Right, they're put up for adoption. So one family, the Lewises of Lima, Ohio, adopt one baby. They name him James, right? The other family is the Springers of Piqua, Ohio. Both families knew that the child they adopted had a twin, but they didn't know whatever happened to the twin. They grow up separately. Both had childhood dogs that they named Toy.
Weird.
As school children, both were really good at math and really interested in woodworking, but both were terrible spellers. Their childhoods were uncannily similar, but their early adulthoods become even more remarkable. Both Jims married twice. The first time, they both married a woman named Linda. When it didn't work out with Linda, they divorced, and they met and went on to marry women who were both named Betty. Again, they don't know each other when all of this is going on.
That's spooky.
Jim Lewis and Jim Springer, identical twin brothers who don't know each other at all. They then have a son, and they both name their son James Allen. Although one spells Allen with one L and the other with two L's.
Finally a difference.
Both Jims were heavy smokers. They both drove the same car. They both had similar jobs. One was in security while the other was a security guard. They even took vacations at the same Florida beach. Neither man knew any of these facts about their brother until Jim Lewis, at the age of 37, decided to try and get in contact with his twin brother. In 1977, they decided to meet. They spoke on the telephone and met. They were reunited in February of 79. Their fascinating story came to light. And scientists thought, well, hang on now. This is an interesting story, but it also is important to kind of take a look at to do research. There was a study being done by Dr. Thomas Borchard at the University of Minnesota, a study on twins. And he took a look at their medical histories, and they did brainwave tests and found that their brainwave tests were almost identical. So too were their results in a personality test. So you might assume that identical twins are identical in every way, but that's not what Dr. Borchard's research shows. The Minnesota study of twins reared apart. The big takeaway is that there are genetic influences on almost all facets of human behavior, but the emphasis on the idiosyncratic characteristics is misleading. On average, and this is, I think, goes back to the golf swing argument, on average, identical twins raised separately are about 50% similar.
But...
and the details... it defeats, it says here, the widespread belief that identical twins are carbon copies. Obviously, they are not. Each is an individual with his or her own right. Now, if you were raised together, would your golf swing be more similar?
I bet their golf swing's still similar.
You think?
Yes. Now, again, one was... the owner of a very successful security company, and the other one was a security guard. So, not everything is spot on. Overnights. One owned a very successful security company, and the other one worked overnights for that security company.
They never saw each other because one had the
one worked much during better, the day, yeah. The other one had the overnight shift and didn't know that he existed. How would he know? He just he's got a completely different last name. So big deal. He's got the same first name. There are plenty of Daves. That's where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah, they never met, even though worked for the other.
Right.
I'm not going to... You think I'm going to be hanging out with the overnight guard?
35 years I worked for you.
Number two.
You're something of a connoisseur of fast food.
I'm aware of it.
Who would you say has the best fries?
The best fries?
Yeah, the best French fries.
I like Culver's French fries.
They're crinkle cut, and That's an excellent choice.
But Arby's has that now, too.
I have not had the Arby's.
But Culver's does a nice job with their fries.
I'm reading here a list that Thrillist put together of the best fries in fast food. They have Arby's curly fries number one.
Yeah,
on the spot.
I wouldn't do the curly fry. If I'm at Arby's, it's probably the potato cakes or maybe the crinkle cut fry.
They've got McDonald's fries number two. McDonald's fries tend to always score very high when you're talking about French fries. Chick-fil-A waffle fries number three on their list.
Pass.
Let's see.
I mean, I'd eat it, but pass.
Yeah. Checkers, famous season fries on this list.
Two seasons.
Whataburger, which we don't have. A&W root beer fries. Surprising to me that they're number seven here on the list.
Steak and Shake has those super thin fries.
Those are great.
You know,
actually, a little hard to navigate,
actually any fry is good as long as it's hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they're all good if they're good and hot.
They have Culver's crinkle cut fries. There's something here called the KFC Secret Recipe Fries, which they have at number 11. White Castle French fries are essentially identical to Culver's. They're the crinkle cut. Burger King comes in at number 13. Hardee's natural cut fries come in at number 15. Sonic, they talk about the
Who
tots.
Was number one?
Number one is, again, Arby's with the curly fries.
Oh, really?
The people at Wendy's are at number 17 on this list.
Where's the potato cake at?
It's not on here. This is a list of French fries, and they don't have that on there.
Yeah, but a waffle fry is no more a French fry than a potato cake.
Oh, I would argue it is. Wendy's announcing that they are completely redoing their French fries.
They've got their seasoned potatoes for breakfast. Those are good. And those are good if they're hot.
These new fries at Wendy's will be available in the middle of September. And they say that these new fries were created as more people shift their ordering preferences to drive-thrus and delivery because of the pandemic.
Sure.
This is what they're thinking, and this might be very smart. You're not eating as much of the fries there at the restaurant, so they need to tinker with the fries so they're not soggy by the time you get them home to eat them.
If you're not eating them on the way there.
Right. The president of Wendy's, Kurt Kane, saying here they're going to notice, meaning fans of their French fries, you're going to notice a difference as soon as you taste it. The proof will be in the tasting. What we've done is balance the cut of the fry and kept a little bit of the skin of the potato on the fry to be able to drive flavor. We used a batter system that allows us to be able to maintain crispiness, both when they're fresh and out of the fryer, as well as several minutes later. The batter system is when the fries are dunked in oil. He says the fries at Wendy's are improved, or will be, beginning next month, because restaurants will be using all new fry baskets that are shorter, helping keep the fries fully submerged in oil. The new fry baskets will enable them to make sure that they fry the fries correctly each and every time. This is a project, these new fries that are launching at Wendy's next month. This is a project that they spent 4 years doing research on.
This sure sounds like someone who's explaining what he does and why he's getting paid what he's getting paid.
20 different French fry designs.
No, this is what I've been up to for 4 years. What?
20 different French fry designs were considered before they landed on the one they say that is fairly consistent in shape and size where we have been historically.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Let's consider at least 20 of them, guys.
The last time Wendy's changed their fries was November of 2010 when they added sea salt and used a natural skin-on cut. That was the first time that Wendy's had tweaked their fries since they opened in 1900.
That whole sea salt thing? That was my idea.
Wendy's opened in 1969.
69, dudes!
The idea of the improved fry was to put an end to disappointing and inconsistent fry experiences. They say they did a national taste test. And they say the people at Wendy's, that the people that did their taste test prefer the new Wendy's fries over McDonald's by a 2-to-1 margin. If you're telling me you're going to release a French fry that people enjoy on a 2-to-1 margin over McDonald's fries, which again, traditionally are named the best French fries of all fast food, that could be a game changer.
Might have to treat myself to lunch.
Might have to. Again, they'll be rolling that out. French fries that have been engineered to stay crispy and hot longer. Again, they say that this is in part something that they wanted to do because of all that we've been through and how our method of getting food has changed. You know, the COVID-19 pandemic spurred the need for a makeover.
Mm-hmm.
But also, they've been working on this for 4 years. So well before we were dealing with any of this. They're also going to launch a new Big Bacon Cheddar Cheeseburger next week. So, I don't know. I think it could be exciting, or this could be a lot of hype for what are essentially just French fries.
And people were saying I didn't deserve my year-end bonus.
Well, look, though, man. If Wendy's becomes famous for French fries, where it's like you got to go to Wendy's for the fries, right? It just takes one thing for you to go from zero to hero. Like, the guy who came up with the chicken sandwich at Popeyes, that guy felt pretty good going to the Christmas party that year. Got to be getting a lot of pats on the back.
What are we having at the Christmas party? What do you think?
Number three.
What do you think you have to do to get banned from a zoo? Imagine a zoo putting your picture up at the gates. Like, if you go to Niobe Zoo and your picture's there at the front gate and it says, "Do not let this man into the zoo." What would you have to do for a zoo to say, "That's enough"?
I would think getting naked in the monkey cage.
Boy, you're so close.
Naked in the monkey house would probably do it.
You're so close.
Or naked in the snake pit.
Really, I don't think there's any part of the zoo it would be appropriate to get naked.
Yeah. Yeah, even in
naked at the giraffe barn even isn't good.
Even in the butterfly garden. Look, they're butterflies. Look where they're landing.
Put your pants on, Tony. No, this is a woman in Belgium who has been banned from the zoo.
And she has her picture out front?
Well, I assume that's how they do it. I don't know the logistics of...
I'll wear a disguise then.
Remember they used to have... I don't know that you see it anymore because people don't pay with things with checks. But they used to have it like your favorite gas station.
They put up bad checks.
Do not accept checks from these people.
Uh-huh.
A zoo in Belgium banning a local woman. She is no longer allowed to visit the park's chimpanzee exhibit.
Told you.
Because she was having an affair with one of the monkeys. I guess.
Here I come.
Is this feeling something real?
A chimpanzee named Cheetah arrived at the Antwerp Zoo 30 years ago. And for the last 4 years, 80 Timmermans has visited the chimpanzee every week, developing a close bond with the animal.
Uh-huh.
She tells Newsweek, quote, "I love that animal, and he loves me. I haven't got anything else. Why do they want to take that away? We're having an affair, I'll just say." End
it's
quote.
A family affair.
You know, you didn't have to say you were having an affair.
No, you should have left that out.
Leave that part out.
You should have just said, I care for that animal.
I'm very much in love with Cheetah. And Cheetah loves me. According to the outlet...
Glass. Cheetah glass.
Sure, 80 Timmermans.
He is my boyfriend!
According to Newsweek, the affair that Timmermans is mentioning here involves the primate... and this woman waving and blowing kisses to each other from opposite sides of the glass around the ape's enclosure. The zoo is expressing concern about the lengthy relationship because it's having a negative impact on Cheetah's rapport with the other chimpanzees at the zoo.
Mm.
Zoo saying here, when Cheetah is constantly busy with visitors, the other monkeys ignore him and don't consider him part of the group, even though that is important. He then sits on his own outside of visiting hours. So it's like the other monkeys are like, "You think you're better than us because you got a person that visits? Yeah. Do you think you're a human being? You can go sit over there, Cheetah. We're the cool monkeys over here. You don't get to sit with us." Spokesperson for the zoo saying an animal that's too focused on people is less respected by its peers and we want Cheetah to be a chimpanzee as much as possible. Cheetah's fascination with humans, according to the zoo, is present because he was a pet before he joined the zoo. So the zoo is banning her from...
You're saying I'm banned.
...making contact with Cheetah for his own good. Can't you see you're tearing me apart? She's accusing the zoo of being unfair. She says, there are dozens of other visitors who are allowed to make contact. Why not me?
Well, keep it to yourself.
Go find... Yeah. Yeah, that's... I like the monkey is all you needed to say. You didn't need to use the word, I'm having an affair with the monkey. That's...
Yeah, there are certain buzzwords.
That's where you lost me. I would be on this lady's side...
Well, there's not much you could do about it. If someone's just paying entrance into the zoo and taking a beeline right to the monkey cage, but...
Cheetah was once... This is according to the Dutch daily newspaper Der Gelderlander. Cheetah was once kept as a pet, but was given to the zoo 30 years ago when his owners found his behavior unmanageable.
Unseemly.
He has long had issues with integrating into the zoo's chimpanzee troop. Cheetah was injured in 2008 during a brawl with several other chimps.
Chimp riot.
Boy, that's the day you want to be at the zoo. They're brawling! This is the greatest day ever.
Well, that wouldn't be great.
Yeah, it would. They're fine. They're just monkeys doing monkey stuff. Look, I'm not saying
Listen,
Darren...
the first rule of Chimp Fight Club.
Yeah, I'm not saying put him in an octagon. I'm not a monster, but if they're going to go ahead and have a monkey fight...
You don't
want
to watch that. You need to break that up.
Break it up, monkeys.
You don't want anyone getting hurt.
Zimmerman's is allowed to continue to come to the zoo, apparently, but specifically she can't come to the monkey enclosure. So it's not at the front gate, her picture. It would be right in front of the monkey house. We have asked her to let Cheetah be a chimpanzee among chimpanzees and not to visit the attraction. We're explaining to her why we're asking this from her and to all our visitors. I don't know, maybe if you don't want Cheetah the monkey to be where people can see him, I'm going to throw this out there. Maybe don't have him at a zoo. If it's not good for his health to have interactions with humans, maybe don't have humans walking around the chimpanzee enclosure. Maybe just, I don't know.
What, do you want to put him in the office? No. Desk job? Behind the scenes?
I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
Behind the camera?
Yeah, that's right. That Cheetah the monkey, he calls all the shots here at the Antwerp Zoo. You know, he signs my check with his own feces, too. It's not great. I keep asking for a direct deposit, but he says he can't figure that out. And I guess that makes sense on account of how he's a chimpanzee. But then I say, why are you running the place? And then he just, you know, blows kisses at me. I don't care for that. It's harassment. I'm being harassed by a monkey. Chimpanzees are not monkeys, right? Isn't there a whole thing? There's like a whole classification.
Sure.
So I apologize to Cheetah if he's listening on the live stream. I'm not trying to offend. But also, you shouldn't be listening to the live stream, Cheetah. You should be listening to other monkeys.
Number four.
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 Planet 93.9 with Dave and Darren in the morning. I'm Dave. He's Darren. And I'm still struggling to wrap my head around the notion of Jim Mertens in a dinosaur costume for a St. Patrick's Day parade.
I find it very believable.
Why? What's the connection? Like, I get dressing up as a leprechaun or St. Patrick or I mean, there's plenty.
Well, what does Elvis have to do with the St. Patrick's Day parade or Christmas?
Well, that's just a group of guys that like to dress up like Elvis.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Jim likes to dress up like a dinosaur.
Let's not say that we know that he likes to do it. I'm trying to find out a way to get Jim on the show so he can explain this dinosaur costume, because I don't know if this is a tradition. Are we not supposed to know that it's Jim in there? I wonder if that's the thing where Jim can enjoy some anonymity.
Yeah.
Instead of being the Quad Cities' favorite anchor man, yeah. He can just be a dinosaur enjoying.
Yeah, stop gawking at me. I'm a dinosaur.
Exactly.
I want to be treated like a normal person.
Right. The only way Jim Burton's can enjoy the St. Patrick's Day parade without people asking him for pictures, autographs, or news stories is to walk around in an inflatable dinosaur costume. I want to see if we can figure out a way to get him on because I have so many questions about this.
Mm-hmm.
Did he in fact lose a bet? Or was this just on his bucket list?
Yeah, just a fanciful thing he wanted to do.
What was you were in the parade as Rascal, right? When you worked for the Bandits?
That was which parade was that?
It wasn't St. Patrick's Day.
No, though. It wasn't.
It wasn't the Grand Parade. No, what parade did you walk around?
No, I believe it was the Festival of Trees because it was cold and windy.
So you didn't mind having the costume?
Well, except for the fact that the I'm too big for that outfit.
Uh huh.
And the wind kept whipping and almost tearing my head off.
How I wish I could have seen that.
So I was, what they say in the industry,
uh-huh.
Struggling.
Walking around.
I wasn't walking. I was riding in a truck.
Oh, so you just were sitting waving to people as Rascal?
I suppose there was some waving.
Oh,
there were some hand gestures, yes.
Did you just? I could see you just sitting like a mope in the costume.
No.
I said I'd wear the costume. That's all I'm doing. I'm not.
No,
waving.
What I was doing with my hands was hanging on and trying to keep the head on my
struggling.
That's what I was typical. I didn't have a lot of opportunity to wave.
The children, their eyes in wide-eyed wonderment, uh-huh. Waiting for Santa, looking at the balloons, and then here comes a headless raccoon. Oh, what is going on? There's a man in that costume. All this time I've been lied to. I thought there was a giant rodent that attended the games and took pictures with us. I guess they're not rodents, right? Are they rodents?
He looks like a creep.
He's
a creep.
Rascal's a creep.
Boo.
Are they rodents? No. Are they? Do their teeth grow all the time or not?
They're vermin.
I mean, they're not. They're adorable. But are they rodents?
I know they're not reptiles.
Raccoons are mammals.
Sure.
They are not rodents.
You think everything's a rodent.
Well, rodent or not rodent? Let's play a quick game. Mole. Mole, is that a rodent?
I would think that's...
Is a mole a rodent?
I would think so, yes.
Yeah, they're not rodents.
Oh, they're not.
You think everything's a rodent.
Okay.
Porcupine, is a porcupine a rodent?
No.
It is, in fact, a rodent.
Mm.
Yes, how about hedgehogs?
Yes.
They're not rodents.
I don't know.
You're 0-3 on this, pal. A raccoon is not a rodent. It belongs to the carnivora order. That means it's a meat eater. Although they will eat anything available, including whatever you have in your garden.
Leftover pizza.
Whatever's in your garbage. They are members of the Pyrocynoid family, which also includes ringtail cats and kinkajous.
What about ringtailed lemurs?
How about a possum? Is a possum a rodent?
No.
You're right, they're not. They are an order unto themselves.
Huh, unto themselves?
Mm-hmm. Beavers. Are beavers rodents?
No.
Beavers are, in fact, rodents. Yes, they are.
I think of rodents...
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had a stuff.
Think of rodents as being smaller.
Are bats rodents?
Well, you're always saying that it's a rodent with wings, so I'll say no.
They're not. No, they're flying mammals. They have their own order. Rabbits.
Yes, rodent.
They're not.
No.
Despite what you've been taught in school, rabbits are not rodents. Their different teeth put them in a different order. Rabbits were classified as rodents until 1912. took decades for textbooks to catch up with the evolving taxonomy. So a rabbit is not a rodent, despite what
you know
Yosemite what? Sam has taught us.
You know what? If we played this game again, I still wouldn't be any better with it.
Five.
Number five.
Rather bizarre incident that the cops in Cookeville, Tennessee had to deal with on Wednesday. There was a two-county pursuit. Hot pursuit! A two-county pursuit from Dowelltown, Pennsylvania to Dowelltown, Tennessee to Lebanon, Tennessee on Highway 70. 39-year-old Tyson Gilbert severed his own penis and tossed it out the car window somewhere along the route, either before or during the police chase. Gilbert said he heard voices on his car radio telling him to cut off his penis and throw it out the window in order to save the world.
It wasn't us.
I can't get people to ask the mechanic a question.
Right.
And there's some morning show in Tennessee that's got people chopping off their dongs? Gilbert said he heard voices on the car radio telling them to commit the act in order to save the world. Trooper Bobby Johnson of the Tennessee Highway Patrol was the first to come across Gilbert. After spotting his Honda Accord parked partially in the roadway on Highway 70.
Hey, everybody, it's a free beer Friday. Cut your wiener off.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, it doesn't add up.
The trooper there in Tennessee, Trooper Bobby Johnson, says here, quote, "When I pulled up behind him and turned my lights on, he took off and refused to stop. He was all over the road the whole time."
Well, no kidding.
Women drivers. "He turned off Old Liberty Road and came to a stop. He opened his door. He was naked and covered in blood."
Ugh.
"He then shut his door and kept driving." The Alexandria, Tennessee Police Department spiked him. That is to say, they put down the spike strips on Highway 70 as he was going through Alexandria. He kept traveling westbound. Tennessee Highway Patrol spiked him in Watertown. He kept going. Trooper Johnson says here, "We were finally able to box him in and got him stopped on Highway 70 right before Interstate I-40 and took him into custody. He was then transported to Vanderbilt Hospital." The spike strips did not stop this guy immediately, but they did slow him down. He has active warrants, by the way, against him for other offenses. So, yeah, that's what they were dealing with Wednesday down there in Tennessee.
Can you imagine being that insane? I mean, I know no one listening to this show can imagine it.
Yeah, well,
they're listening to other stations.
Yeah,
but
hey, we got a pair of Aerosmith tickets for the first person to chop off their dong.
The back of my head.
No.
No.
To be clear.
Those insane people are listening to different shows.
Yeah. Yeah, the crazies tend to not listen to us. That's not to say we don't have a couple screw jobs. But to be clear here, Dave and Darren want you to keep everything that's part of your body on your body.
For as long as possible.
Yes. Yes. Although, who knows?
Stay intact.
Maybe this guy chopping it off will somehow save the world. What if this guy was, like, about to make another baby Hitler? And somehow, someone got into the radio from the future and convinced him to do it. I don't know. Maybe it's possible. Maybe he has saved the world.
I have a message from another time.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
Yeah, we should mention that we present the top five things numerically, but the number one thing is not, like, we think the best thing. It may have been today.
It's arbitrary.
I feel like all five of these are strong bits.
I think they're all number one.
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far. The top five things has been brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois.
Where their goal is to fully understand their clients' needs physically, mentally, and emotionally, because they know It's not easy to live with a chronic illness. Their experienced wellness consultants will sit down with you and discuss what options work best to make you feel more comfortable. Frequently asked questions are answered at the website, ntillinois.com.
Until we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Oh, we are the boys of the chorus. We hope you like our show. We know you're rooting for us, but now we have to go.